Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a great week. And thanks again for getting that midweek Disney fix with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Of course, it's time for your listener questions. Ricky's standing by to help me with some of the questions you have posed, including a great question from Sarah about going down to Walt Disney World in late April. That's when something called Summit takes place down at Walt Disney World's cheerleading competitions. And now that I'm a cheer dad, because Mallory is trying to qualify for Summit this year, I can give my thoughts on whether that's a good week or if we should switch those dates up. But first, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down your days with style. And don't forget, you can put in your own pictures. So I bet you've been to Walt Disney World before. Some of our listeners have not, but most have. And you can take those pictures of your kids and Goofy, yourself and Goofy. Maybe Goofy's your significant other. Who knows? But put those pictures in the app. It makes it very personal. And every time you get a call, a text, post to social media, you're getting pumped up for your next trip to the greatest place in the world. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Again, a huge thank you to everybody who supports the Be Our Guest podcast through our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It helps us out so much because it costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. Everything is exactly the same. Just when you head into the Amazon website, instead of going to Amazon.com, just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And it really does help support the show. So thanks again to everybody who supports the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1353 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you, and it's a great day because, again, I'm waking up down at Walt Disney World, currently at Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, one of my favorite places to stay, and it's my last full day at Walt Disney World after this epic trip. We do fly home late tomorrow night, so it's coming to an end, but we're going to keep having fun. So follow me on social media, lots to post at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod and Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. And that Facebook page is going to be lighting up this coming Saturday. It's going to be amazing. It's the best thing we do all year, and Ricky's going to tell you all about it. She's here from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
All right, guys, so it is crunch time. If you are ready, I'm probably in panic mode because I'm at home, not at Walt Disney World like Mike. So I'm letting you all know that the 12-hour live show is this Saturday.
Saturday.
July 14th. It is from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so just keep that in mind. And we're gonna have lots of great guests to be on the show. We've got the auction, just so much great fun. You've got the Disney Talk with us. Be ready to call in. We want to talk to you. This is part of the fun of doing the live show, is getting to talk to you guys, the listeners and everything like that. So please, please, please make sure you call in. We really, really love talking to you guys. And it's been so long since we've had the chance to be able to talk to you guys, have these conversations. So please, please make sure you call in. We're going to raise money for Give Kids the World, which is the whole reason about why we're doing this. We have a very nice goal of what we're trying to reach. So hopefully we can reach that. I never want to set it like too lofty because then I'm always worried.
We always do that.
like I'm like, okay, let's set it for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, we're just not going to hit that. Like, I want to make sure we hit our goal. So I always like underestimate how much I think that we're going to make. But again, it is still a lofty goal. It's not like I'm saying, you know, not a lofty goal. I still laugh about that first live show. And we guessed, okay, let's hope for $2,000. Like, we blew past it like the first like 2 hours.
I think I walked
like
actually
that.
On that one. I think I walked down to the basement to start the show, and we had already had like 75% of the donations before we went on the air.
So you guys definitely blow us away every year we do these live shows, and so we're so excited to get to help Give Kids the World again, because that's really what it's all about. It's all about helping Give Kids the World and bringing a smile to everyone.
That's it. I mean, it's the good in the world. There's so much bad stuff. You watch the news. We're going to make so much good, you know, and if everybody just gives a little, we have a big audience. I mean, a big audience.
Absolutely.
So that's it. That's
$5, you know, whatever you can do, that would be great. You don't have to feel like you have to give a whole lot of money or anything like that. Just a tiny, small little donation. All that helps. So thank you all so very much ahead of time. And, you know, just don't buy Starbucks this week or whatever, you know, don't go to Taco Bell, Mike. I'm just saying you're at Walt Disney World. You haven't gone to Taco Bell this week. Ooh. So
I bet you're right about now. I'm craving some Taco Bell, man. I am craving some.
Plenty of Mexican. I'm sure,
so. It's not Taco Bell. And you know what? I have gift cards from our mystery listener anyway. So
that's right.
I have to go
to
Gingham's. Anyway. So. Okay. So see you Saturday. Make sure you call so we don't have to just talk to each other all day. We can talk to
you
guys.
As much as I love you guys, I want to talk to the listeners too.
So. All right. Sarah's got the first question. Hello. My daughter and I are planning our second Walt Disney World trip. I was thinking of going the week of April 27th through May 4th because it's after Easter and spring break and hopefully not too hot yet. I noticed the World Cheer and Dance Competition is that week. We plan on staying at Pop Century. Do you think we should go the following week, or will the parks not be affected? I love the show. Thanks for all you guys do. Sarah C. All right, so I picked this one because, I don't know if you guys know this, I'm now a cheer dad. Because it's right. Mallory is trying to qualify for this competition right now. It's called Summit. It's either Worlds or Summit. They're back-to-back weeks down at Walt Disney World. You're asking if you should push it outside of that. Here's what I say. It doesn't affect the parks a lot. However, if you're at a value or a moderate resort, there are going to be teeny bopper girls all over the place. And
yes,
since I live with one and she brings her friends over, it's just a matter of tolerance. Like, can you be around 12-year-old girls hyped up on Starbucks with sparkly stuff in their hair and like 10 pounds of makeup on their face and doing pyramids and stuff? I don't know. You know, I think you're going to be fine either way. So I'm not saying everybody out there change your reservations. You're fine. But just be aware. It's kind of like in December with Pop Warner. They're not in the, you know, the athletes and the cheerleaders are not necessarily in the parks
a
whole lot.
Parks.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's kind of like marathon weekend for runners. Like I go to the parks in the morning, but I'm bailing by 2 o'clock. Cause I, you know, the focus of my trip's on the competition, but you know, I would say if you could avoid it, all things considered, the weather's that could be much different. I would, you know, try, but cause I will tell you, that the moderates and value resorts will fill up solid because that happened last year. Like I could not get a room for guests during that Summit Worlds week. It was it was crazy. So how's your tolerance, Ricky, for 12-year-old teeny bopper girls?
Well, given that I have no children of my own.
Hyped up on Starbucks. They all have to have Starbucks. I'm telling you, it's a whole different world. It's different than when Paige played soccer. It's so different.
You are definitely asking the very wrong person for this question.
It's nuts, but it's fun. You know, everybody has their thing. All right, let's get to the next question. Scott Carrington over in the UK live on our Facebook page in the Magic Kingdom. Which way do the parades go and what would you recommend is the best spot for young girls 7, 4, and 1 to watch them, including the Shake It Small Parade? I guess that's the Shake It. It's the Make It, Shake It, Celebrate It.
Oh, yeah.
I'm making it all.
Yeah,
no, it's moving.
Like that. Shake it, celebrate it, I think is what it is. Yeah.
Fake it, I don't know.
They changed the name. They changed the name recently-ish, and I don't quite remember.
It's Vamos. Anyway.
Okay.
Any suggestions for the Happily Ever After spots, too, with these little princesses? We travel in July. All right, Scott, I'll be down there in July, too. So, actually, I'm getting ready to come home today, or tomorrow. But, so, the best, let's say, the Fantasy, the Festival of Fantasy Parade, the Afternoon Parade. I like to watch it back in Frontierland because it's wider, kind of by the shooting arcade. You get a lot of good spots there. The girls could probably nose up to the very front, especially young girls like 7, 4, and 1. What about Happily Ever After, Ricky? Where would you go for that? Where's your go-to?
You know, it's going to be obviously on Main Street because you're going to want to see the projections. So I'm going to say probably the good spot is maybe like right in line with where Casey's and the ice cream parlor are. I think that that's probably a good spot. You can go probably a little bit further. Don't go, you know, too close though. You don't want to go if you're walking toward the castle, don't go past the partner statue. I think once you get that far, you're not going to see the fireworks as well. So I definitely think that, you know, I think that between the area between the partner statue and the I can't think. Casey's Corner and the ice cream parlor is probably the best spot to see it. So
I agree. Great spot. All right. Karen's got a new a question here in the Facebook chat. I have one. She says, I'm going to Disney in September, but have never been that time of year. How are the crowds and the weather? Also, first time attending Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. So any tips would be great. Thanks a lot. Karen, this was Ricky's like time to go years ago. I mean, this was like your go-to was September, correct?
It was. It was awesome. The parks were not super crowded, which was good. There's still some crowds, but especially because free dining is usually offered that time period. So if you want to dine somewhere and you don't have free dining, make sure you make your ADRs right now because it may be difficult to do. As far as Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and what not to miss, I mean, obviously, don't miss the parade, don't miss the fireworks. They have a couple of new things that are coming this year. I can't understand what they're doing with Pirates of the Caribbean. They're like bringing some Buccaneer Pete or something like that. I don't know. I can't tell if it's a new like character that they're putting into the ride. I don't understand.
Speaking of the hang on, but outside of the Halloween party, are they bringing Red to World or is that just a Disneyland thing?
Is she there? Oh, no. I mean, the like
the
meet, character.
Yeah, the character you can meet.
No, they're bringing, that's only at Disneyland.
I
want to
meet her.
Sorry. They're also doing an overlay at Space Mountain, which is kind of cool too. So that's kind of neat. And they're doing kind of an overlay at the teacups, which the Mad Tea Party, which is also kind of interesting. I think it involves a lot of lighting, special lighting and stuff like that. So those are kind of the new things that they're doing. Oh, and there's a dance party for little ones back in the Storybook Circus Land. So that, you know, because obviously you have to have a dance party. It's Disney. So it involves the Disney Junior characters. And she asked about whether it's going to be warm. So, I mean, it's still hot. So just keep that in mind.
Warm with a chance of hurricanes.
That is also true. Yes.
But let's just saying. Did you say an overlay for Space Mountain?
Yeah.
Like, is it just going to be during the party or is it going to be for the whole season? I wouldn't imagine
it's
just for the party.
I think it's just during the party from what
projected.
I understood.
It's probably projected or something on the
ceiling. I don't think it'll be as like intricate maybe as Ghost Galaxy is over at Disneyland. But it will be something maybe kind of similar. Huh. So maybe they just can flip a switch and, you know, when the party starts and they'll have different effects going through the, you know, cavern.
You couldn't tell, but my ears perked up, but I got my cans on, so you couldn't see
there
that.
You go.
That's no, perked
I
up my ears.
I couldn't.
All right, Jennifer Bates, question. I need a place for dinner for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, staying at the Beach Club, so Epcot World Showcase, Boardwalk. What do you think? Ricky, I know you've done Trails Inn before on Christmas Day, but
I've also done Kona before on Christmas Day. Nothing says Christmas like Kona.
Hey, man. Kona's good any day of the year, 365,
exactly.
Baby. What about, she's staying at Beach Club. What about, I'm trying to keep her in the neighborhood here. I like the idea of World Showcase. What about like Rosencrown in the UK? It's kind of Christmassy. I don't know. They're English.
I guess so.
I don't know. Not really.
I don't know. Not really. But you know, that's a good thought, Mike. I mean, I had a reservation originally on Christmas this last year at 50s Primetime that I ended
That'd
up canceling.
Fun. That'd be fun, though.
And I think that would be a good choice. So that's kind of over in that area. And as far, you know, Christmas Eve, I mean, depends on where she's going to be, too. So, I mean, any of those places we named before is a good option. I mean, I'm a big fan of Trails End, so. But
now, if you could get them, here's two hot ones, I would say. Either Liberty Tree Tavern or Whispering Canyon, because Liberty Tree kind of reminds me of Christmas, and Whispering Canyon, you could see the tree. And it'd be
that's
like,
true.
It'd be kind
we
of
had
like
that conversation
there. Yeah.
Recently
I think we
about
have. It's like I've heard that before. Yeah, okay. That's true. That was us. All right, Christopher Chabot has a question. Heading down to the world in October with my girlfriend for our anniversary. Would you recommend a tour or the Not So Scary Halloween Party? Tours I'm considering are Wild Safari Trek and Keys to the Kingdom. Thanks. I say go Halloween Party. When do you get to be a... I mean, because that's only seasonal, so you're only going to be able to do it when you're there. Tours are all the time. And I mean, that would be, you know, just with you and your, like, girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife. I mean, couples trips, I think, even though these are marketed as kid and family events, you could have so much fun as two adults trick-or-treating the whole night. Just think of the candy. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was going to say Halloween party, too, hands down. I mean, as great as the tours are, and trust me, they are fantastic, there's really just something super exciting about being at the Halloween party.
All right, next question from Clyde Blunk. He says, looking forward to the new app June 30th. What do you know about it? I guess he's talking about the waiting in line. What's it called? It's called the Parks. Play the Parks app or something like that. What I've read about it is that this is an app that it's an official Disney app that's going to be active. I think it's going to be location based where when you're in the park, it'll know. And you will be posed certain challenges, similar to kind of like what you do in the Soarin' queue, but maybe a little bit more involved than that. I think that's kind of a beta. And then what's going to happen, apparently, too, with that, if you win or if you are one of the best performers in that game, you can get a front of the line access because of that. Like, it'll tell you, go to the front of the line. How cool is that? I mean, fights are going to break out about this again, you know.
I didn't hear that.
I heard it from Len Testa. I'm just saying. So
I didn't hear that part. Okay, so here's what I know. The app comes out on the 30th. Stop spreading lies. The app comes out on the 30th. It's going to work at Toy Story Mania, Peter Pan's Flight, Space Mountain, and Slinky Dog Dash. Guests can earn, collect, and share uniquely themed achievements, rewards for playing games, answering trivia, completing challenges, and experiencing select attractions. There will also be a Disney trivia section to play with, too. And there's also going to be some connectivity with Apple Music, so you can listen to the music from the parks.
Wow.
And Apple Music subscribers will even be able to add their favorite Disney tracks direct to their Apple Music library, allowing them to relive the magic of Disney Parks music at home. So you're basically going to be able to like play some games, things like that. And it's only at those select attractions right now. I highly expect it will roll out to other attractions as we move forward. They've already said that it's going to be rolling out to Galaxy's Edge when it comes out. So it'll be very interesting. I will be down there when it debuts. Obviously we recorded this a little early. I will play with it on the 30th and have kind of an idea of how it works and give a report when I can.
And it will be a free app too. And I will say, let me just say this because I'm an Apple Music subscriber. Like I really love Apple and I got most of their products. When you're on hold with Disney, they changed our hold music for the travel agents in the last month. Like if you're a travel agent, you have it memorized. Like, you know, like what's coming next because they don't change it very often, but they just changed it. And the thing is, it's very current music. It's got like Rivers of Light and it's got a medley.
Really?
It's got like a medley of Rivers of Light and the Awakening, the tree awakening, like ceremony.
I
it's really
love
cool.
That.
And all this stuff is available on Apple Music. So if you're an Apple Music subscriber, almost all the park, because everybody's always looking for the park music. I mean, it's all, because after every song, it's like, listen to this on Walt Disney Records, now available streaming on Apple Music. So, you know, dig through Apple Music. I mean, everything is on there now. It's crazy. Like five years ago, I'd had a heart attack to be able to get some of that stuff.
That's cool.
Ray's got a question. He says, can you view illuminations from La Hacienda and is the food good? That's kind of subjective because I prefer San Angel Inn for some reason. It kind of reminds me more of Las Fuentes. I know they're kind of two different types of Mexican. And the fireworks, you can if you get a certain table or two or three. But for a majority of that restaurant, you're not going to see illuminations very well. I would definitely step outside unless you get like one of the three really good tables right on the windows. Right? Have you eaten there?
Yeah. I have not eaten there since I ate there like right after it opened. And obviously it's been there for years. So, and it was actually a touring plans.
Yeah.
I think,
were you there the day that
Len bought food for everybody. And that's when I met Henry and he was so tall and I'm
so short.
So, that was the last time I was there, which tells you that was years ago. So, I haven't eaten there since. And it's just one of those places that I just kind of forget about. So
that was the craziest day. It was so hot. And Len said, this was a long time. This was probably 8-9 years ago. You know, Len's like, anybody that shows up in Mexico, I'm buying them nachos. And he had like two or three things you could get. And I mean, there had been a couple hundred people show up. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, the whole restaurant full.
Yeah, he did.
That was so fun. Anyway, guess what? We're not doing that.
No, we're not. we are not running out La Hacienda.
No, we are not. This dude does not have that kind of bucks. All right, Megan's got the next question. Best resort to tour and dine at during Christmas time? I would say Grand Floridian's my guess, just because the Gingerbread House, and maybe you could go to the Grand Floridian Cafe.
I mean, we are. I think we already said it. I'm going to go with Wilderness Lodge and Whispering Canyon Cafe. So that's my option.
And Alan says Beer Garden is great. I think he said that a couple weeks ago, too. Again, we love it. But he's sticking to it. The Tube of Christmas and all that. Okay, good.
Oh, they have a Christmas show. Oh, that's good. I like that. I need to head over there. Yeah.
I'll have to do that. I bet you it's not going in July. Christmas in July. No. All right. No. Anthony's got the next question. Hey, BOGP crew, thanks so much for the podcast and keeping this retired Air Force family in touch with the magic of Disney when we can't be in the parks. Well, thank you so much for your service, Anthony. While planning our current family trip for this coming November for our daughter's 15th birthday, in some cultures, that's called the quinceañera. I know that.
No, that's 16.
No, it's 15. Did you not speak Spanish?
Quinceañera. Oh, my gosh. I can't think right now. I'm telling you, my brain is fried. It's just gone. So
anyhow, I'm not even editing that out. I told my wife that I want my 50th birthday to be at in Disney. Since that's not until December 2020, we have a lot of time to plan to make this a dream vacation. She proposed a counter question of whether we should make this our first Disney cruise or return to Walt Disney World. We have been to Disneyland in California and Walt Disney World several times, over 20 in total, and have talked about cruising before, so I'm leaning towards the cruise, although I'd hate to be that close and miss Galaxy's Edge. We are possibly going to allow our daughter to bring a friend with her to make her time more enjoyable when she's on her own. That's a great idea. The kids love that when they're that age. So the question is as follows. One, would you agree that the cruise is the better option? Keep in mind that all three of us are scuba divers. Two, would the deluxe family veranda stateroom be a good fit for three or four with the second teen girl? Or would you splurge to get concierge level to fit us better? The second option would cut into our excursion budget and limit the amount of diving we'd be able to do on the trip. I know it's a bit played out, but from Hannibal, Ohio, we're 86 miles from Pam, 571 from Mike, 625 from Ricky, and 937 miles and 143 days from Pop Century in our next Disney vacation. Roll Tide!
First of all, it has never played out.
I know. I mean, I love it. He says Roll Tide. So Roll Tide, Tony. And thanks again for your service. So I would definitely lean for the cruise because it's something you've never experienced, and I think you would enjoy it.
I think so, too. It's so much fun. I mean, really is a blast, and you would have, especially because you're scuba certified and stuff like that, I think the cruise is the right option.
Yeah, and so as far as the accommodation on the ship, here's what I say, especially for a first-time cruiser. I don't book as a travel agent. I book some concierge for guests, like if they're really, that's their style, you know, like if they go to Beach Club and they stay concierge, you know, that's maybe something that is important to them on the cruise. However, for a first-time cruiser, I think 99% of people, it feels like such a splurge being on the ship, period. Like, you don't, I don't necessarily think you need concierge because they're bending over backwards for you, whether you're in an inside stateroom, an ocean view, a veranda, they don't care. And it's really amazing because it's so all-inclusive that I think getting that family veranda, that's a big stateroom, and it's got the veranda. You guys would be happy as clams. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think they were more worried about, like, the space-wise thing because, you know, they'll have the extra kid with them. So there is, just so you know, it's just kind of for privacy, there is a curtain in the room that you can close in the veranda rooms. Well, actually, it's in, I mean, all the staterooms. So that way, like, if you needed, you know, if somebody wanted to close the curtain, you could, which is kind of a nice little privacy feature. So it should be fine.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, and it's big, too. So when you have that privacy curtain, it's, I mean, it's a big, big stateroom. So good deal. All right, next is Sean. He says, hey, BOG, I'm a huge fan and love the podcast. I'm 32 and have gotten the Disney bug 2 years ago when I did my first Disney run. Got to be careful. Those bugs will bite. I'm now planning on hitting up the Princess Run in February 2019 and already booked a room at Caribbean Beach Resort. I'm currently in the midst of picking out what restaurants I plan to hit throughout the week, and I'm almost finished, but I need a recommendation on one. On one day, I'm planning on hanging around the boardwalk. I picked Cape May Cafe for breakfast and Flying Fish for dinner, but I have no idea where to go for lunch. What would you recommend? First of all, you may not need lunch.
Right?
That's a lot of food this dude has. But he's a runner. Runners run to eat and eat to run. Anyway, says, keep up the great work. Sean is in South Jersey. Man, I would just go to Ample Hills. And I mean, if you're going all in, I'd have Ample Hills and just call it a day. What'd you say, Ricky? That's crazy.
Okay, so he wants to be around the boardwalk, like that whole area?
Well, I guess he wants to be in that area. Yeah, I guess he's just hanging out there. Maybe he's saving his legs, I guess, because princess.
I mean, I'm just going to say, like, you're right. You're not. You're probably not going to be that hungry. So grab a snack maybe at the Boardwalk Bakery or something like that. I feel like that's a better, like, quick service option than over at Beach Club or Yacht Club. Even though the Yacht Club just has the market, now has the market at Ale and Compass, it's still more of a shop type situation with food, not really a full counter service. And the same with the Beach Club. Their counter service is just weird. It really is in a shop, and it's like a little window.
They'll have a window with like a slab of pizza in there, because that's what I had to have, because Mallory was having a moment last year for one of the nights, and we didn't get to go to dinner, so I had to go down and eat there, and it was like one like wedge of pizza was what I had. I think Scott was like at Le Cellier or something. I'm like, yeah, you're having Le Cellier. I'm having this cold slab of pizza back in the room.
I'm going to go with the bakery.
Yeah, I would say the bakery, because a lot of people don't know they have really good little sandwiches, like light, tasty sandwiches in there. It's not just sweets. And also maybe, like, say you want a burger and fries, Cruise Cup over at Yacht Club. Boom.
That's true.
That is one of the best burgers on property.
Or you can go to the fountain over at the Swan and Dolphin.
Good job. All right, next question is from Brad. Hey, Mike, me, my wife, 4 and 6-year-old girls are planning a 4-night February break in 2019. I know President's Day weekend will be crowded, and was planning to arrive the Tuesday after President's Day to avoid the holiday weekend crowds. But I just realized that the Run Disney Princess Run events are the following weekend. Do you know which weekend will be more crowded? And will the Princess Run events enhance or confuse the princess magic that the two girls still very much believe in? Brad. Okay, first of all, I'm going. You want to be there Princess weekend over the President's Day weekend, correct? What would you say? That's what I would say, guessing.
Yeah, Princess over President's Day any day, definitely.
And 100%. I think it would enhance the girls' experience just because there's a lot of princess-focused stuff going on. I mean, not a lot because it's at the expo. If you're a runner, you see it because you're in the right places. You're at the expo, you're at the corrals. You're not going to see all that. And the good thing is, the runners get there early, but they bail out like mid-afternoon. So in the evenings, you know, from afternoon to evenings, you got the parks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. We're rolling through them today. All right, next is Sarah. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. First, let me say thank you so much for allowing me to share my family's trip to Disney on episode 1313. My 6-year-old son, Ben, loved hearing about all the fun we had, and particularly his love for Jedi training. Disney World is so special to our family because we can reconnect and just enjoy being together. It truly is our happy place, and I'm so grateful you allowed me to share. Well, thank you. We love having you guys. And I apologize. I know people contact me all the time about coming on the Monday shows, and I will always give you the next available slot. Unfortunately, right now, the next available slot's next June because I never turn anybody away, but everybody, thanks for your patience. I appreciate it because it's fun. I love doing Monday shows. I love talking about other people's trips.
And can I just let people know, because I get it a lot of time on the Facebook page. People always ask me, hey, how do I get do a trip report? You have to email Mike. So yep. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com, because he doesn't check the Facebook page. That's just me. So you get me when you go to the Facebook page. You don't get Mike.
I really don't do Facebook. As much as you probably see my posts there, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and it updates on Facebook. I don't go on Facebook very often.
So if you really want to be on the show, email him. Don't send him a Facebook message because he's not going to see it, and I'm just going to tell you to email him. So
don't email this week because I'm getting back from 2 weeks of vacation. My inbox is trash. You will not get responded to in the next week probably. I'm just saying, I've been gone for 2 weeks and we're doing the 12-hour live show Saturday. I need time to adjust back to real life. Anyway, Sarah's question says, I have a question for you for our upcoming trip in just 297 days, but who's counting? We are traveling down to Disney World March 23rd to the 30th, 2019, and staying at our DVC home resort, the Polynesian. Something different about this trip from the others we have taken is that we are spending our vacation with another family. We are excited to experience Walt Disney World with our friends, but I'm looking for advice on how is the best way to plan our days as a multi-family trip, especially because the children are different ages with different interests. At the time of our trip, my husband will have our 7-year-old son, 3-year-old daughter, and our newest addition, our son, who is due in early August, will be 7 months old. Our friends will have their 3 and 1-year-old daughters. This will be our friend's first trip to Walt Disney World with their girls, so we want them to have a great time. What is the best way to plan with another family? How do we spend time together while still allowing each family to do what they want to do? Thanks for all of the Disney content you provide. My son Ben and I love listening to the Be Our Guest podcast and love our weekly boost of Disney during this long wait to get back down to Mickey. Thanks. Sarah is in northeastern Pennsylvania, 274 miles, 0.3 from Pam. I love the 0.3. All right, and shout out to Ben. Ben, thank you. We love you listening.
What's up,
and you'll
Ben?
Be there soon. Okay,
Yay.
So this is a great question. Actually, I think we're going to do a whole show on this at some point because I've done this. I mean, yeah. You know, probably my best friend in the world, Scott, one of my great friends, they're DVC as well. And so last summer, we split a 2-bedroom unit over at Old Key West. And that was so cool for us because we typically, I mean, as fun as like staying at Yacht Club and Riverside and Pop Century, I love all those hotels. That's all fun. But like when we stayed as two families in a two-bedroom villa, like that thing, because we had a living room, we had a deck. I mean, it changed our dynamic of our vacation. We stayed there and played games and hung out. We got groceries delivered. We made chocolate chip cookies. Oh, that was so good because it was storming one day, so we didn't want to go out. It was just pouring. So we made chocolate chip cookies, hung out and played games. That was a different vacation. It was fun. Ricky, what do you think about, because we do this all the time. I mean, we're just coming off another trip where we're all together. What's the best way to plan, especially in this situation where you got some first timers, you know, and you want to make sure you cater to them. But I mean, this is your family vacation too. How do you balance this out?
So I think that you really have to communicate. I think that's going to be key. And you know, we always do tour together when we're down there together. You know, it's usually a big group of us of different families that, you know, make up. And so we just kind of listen to each other, listen to what the others kind of want to do, things like that. And really just be open. I think that the age ranges, I think that they're still going to be just fine. I mean, you know, I think the oldest they said was 7. So, I mean, it's not a huge, I mean, it's a huge gap, but as far as Disney is concerned, it's not a huge gap, you know, as far as the attractions go. So, I think you're not going to have, you'll want to make sure you participate in child swap because you've got the baby, mm-hmm. you've got the young kids that can't go on some of the bigger attractions, like, you know, the 7-year-old can go on, but, you know, then all the other adults can still go on things too. And that's kind of nice because everybody will get to go on all the attractions. So definitely participate in Child Swap and you really are going to have a great time. Just like I said, make sure you listen to what everybody's saying.
Yeah, I think it's easy for whoever has the better knowledge of Walt Disney World to take the lead. You know, I think that it's really hard to give up that power. You know, I mean, I work as a travel agent, but a lot of times, you know, I do this every day, all day. So my buddy Scott will plan our vacations and they're always awesome. Like he'll, you know, he'll suggest some places for dinner. You know, he'll make some ADRs for all of us or fast passes for all of us. And we have a great time. And I think that you're going to be the expert. So really what you need to be is the point person, kind of get some feedback, mm-hmm. but you know what's best. And if, you know, take that knowledge and really help everybody have a great trip. That's what I would say.
Yep,
definitely. Josh in the chat says, my family is going to the world mid-May of next year. And we aren't sure if we're driving or flying. They have 50,000 plus points, and I'm debating whether or not to do a day at the water parks. We'll be in the world from Saturday until the following Sunday and have kids that are 5, 2, and 1. And which one would you recommend? Okay, so out of the water parks, I always recommend Typhoon Lagoon. It just seems more chill to me. Like, and I know, I mean, because I'm older, I guess. I like chill. Chill's good.
You old man, you. No, actually, I think I'm going to suggest Typhoon Lagoon as well in this instance because they have the younger kids. And I feel like there's maybe just a smidgen more to do at Typhoon Lagoon for the younger kids. I feel like Blizzard Beach has the older kids in mind a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Typhoon Lagoon on that one.
Both do have like a section, though, for the little tykes. Both have
definitely.
Like, you know, where you could, kind of like at Blizzard Beach, like you walk across some icebergs with like nets above you and like flying foxes. Both of them have really cool areas for like the little ones that age. So that's fun. All right. Tara's got the next. It's not a question, but it's a follow up, actually. She's from Bradenton, Florida. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm a longtime listener and huge fan. Your shows are the highlight of my day. Well, thank you, Tara. Appreciate that. On Wednesday's podcast, just a few Wednesdays ago, a listener had questions about ease of getting around with the 11-month-old while staying at a value. It was only, and this is about Uber, Let's see. It was suggested that they could always use Uber as they have a car seat service. I've recently researched this option for myself and have some information I wanted to share. Uber does have car seats available, but only forward facing. They do not have any options for infant or rear facing car seats. For their car seats, the kids have to meet this criteria. There's three things. They have to be 12 months old and 22 pounds and 31 inches. In my situation, I ended up just using bus service because it was either that or travel with my own car seat. Just wanted to share so that no one plans on using it and isn't able to, Tara. So that's good.
That is good advice. I wonder, though, if the minivans, you know, I wonder what the stipulations are on those, because obviously maybe Disney might have the rear facing. I don't know, because obviously I haven't taken a minivan and I haven't used the car seat service part of it. But I wonder, because they do cater to all families with that regard, I wonder if they do have the rear facing one. So if somebody knows, please let us know, because I'm curious now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think they're going to be, you know, the minivans have to be super family friendly because they're Disney run. So
that's kind of why I'm curious to know whether they have the backward facing ones or if they too just have the forward facing ones.
Yeah. It could be a liability thing at that age.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah.
All right, Debbie Armstrong in the chat. If I find a bounce back offer when I'm staying at the resort, can I apply a bounce back offer to a booking I have already made, or is it only for a new booking? Thanks. Love the podcast. Debbie is in Sydney, Australia. That's awesome.
Wow.
1313 Wallaby Way.
No.
Isn't that what it is?
No, but I'm just saying no. She's not there.
Anyway, see, you should be impressed because I got that, and it's from a movie.
It is from a movie. I think it's only a 13 Wallaby Way. I don't know. Now I'm doubting myself all night tonight, so it's fine.
Anyway, yes, Debbie, what you do is if you have a trip booked already, you go down. How's Debbie going from Sydney, Australia that much that she can do a book bounce back like this? That's what I want to know. Anyway, whatever. That's so cool, though, that she can do that for. I know, that's awesome. That's so cool. But what you do is when you get down there and you see a bounce back in your room, just call Disney and say, I just saw this bounce back offer. I have this vacation book. Can I rebook it, reshop it, whatever you want to call it, on this bounce back? And because basically what you can do at that point is you're outside of penalty. So you could cancel it and rebook it anyway, because there's no penalty for canceling. So they'll just let you apply it. Because you could just say, oh, well, I'll cancel that one and rebook a new one. But I mean, why have to go through all the rigmarole? All right, that's awesome from Australia. Jennifer's up next. Hey, Mike, we're fresh back from our first Walt Disney World trip, and I'm already knee-deep in planning a return visit for October of 2018. I'm going back and forth on whether to upgrade to annual passes, or at least one annual pass, so we can get the parking and other discount benefits. I have two questions. One, if we are intending to upgrade a regular park ticket to an annual pass after we get to Walt Disney World, is there any way for us to get free parking on our first day in the parks? We're staying off-site. I don't know on this one. I guess they would reimburse you, but Ricky, you stay off-site and sometimes get annual
passes. I do.
What happens?
So if you buy it the first day, I believe, I mean, I could, they may do it other days if you have the proof, but I know for sure the first day. So if you go and buy the annual pass the first day you get there, you pay the parking at the toll booth, and then they will add that when you upgrade the annual pass at the ticket window, they will ask you typically if you paid for parking. If they don't, tell them you paid for parking and they will reimburse you that money. I know that because when we upgraded Brian's annual pass, they asked us if we paid for parking. And I said, no, because I had an annual pass that to be used. So that's pretty much how that works, is they will reimburse you for the parking. You know, so I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if they'll do it for if you do it more than one day, but I do know that they'll do it if you do it on the first day.
And by the way, Debbie down in Australia says that she convinced her husband she needed to get an annual pass to make everything financially make sense. There you go. There you go. It's a good negotiation.
I love it.
Yeah, that makes sense, though, that they'd reimburse you, because probably what they do is they just take that cost off the price of the pass, I would say.
You know, I really don't know, because Brian had already paid for his pass, you know, because we bought it ahead of time online, you know, and we had the green card. So in that instance, they would have definitely had to have given us money back. So,
all right. Her second question is, what is the best way to ensure we have PhotoPass privileges for our entire trip if we're planning to get it for free with the annual pass? I'm concerned if we don't upgrade our tickets to the AP until our first day in the parks, we won't be able to take advantage of Memory Maker until day 3 of our trip. Thanks. I love the show. It has given me so many tips for planning and enjoying our trips, not to mention feeds my new obsession, all things Disney. Jennifer. It's all caps too, by the way. So the way it works is when you go to Walt Disney World, you're going to get the pictures. You're going to see them. They're going to be watermarked because they want you to buy them. When you upgrade to, when you get an annual pass, you automatically get Memory Maker at that time. The watermarks disappear. So you still have the pictures and now you just have them ready to go. You can share them or whatever with no watermark.
Exactly.
How about one more question?
Okay.
Time for the last question of the day. Michael's got it. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm planning a trip for my 50th birthday on November 27th. Same as Mike, correct? Ooh, that's scary. He knows my birthday.
Wow.
He knows my birthday. I'm not going to be 50 this year.
Wow.
Though.
No.
I will someday. Anyway, we can't go on my actual birthday, so we're deciding between November 10th to the 14th and December 8th to the 11th. So early November or early December. My questions are, one, if Jingle Bell Jingle Bam is brought back, will it start by November 10th? So, Ricky, these are good for you. What do you guess? We don't know for sure. November 10th.
Okay. So, my and I can't pull it up right now, but my suggestion is to go back and look to see what date it started last year. It looks like it. If I had to take a guess, my guess is it will probably start on the 9th. Looking at the calendar. Wait, did he say 2018?
Yes, this year.
Okay. It looks like it'll probably start on the 9th if I had to take a guess. So, or right around there. So you probably will be good on that Saturday. But again, they haven't announced any details about Jingle Bell. Well, okay, again, we're recording this early, so they probably already have announced the details about Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. I'm just going to say that right now because that's how our life works. So, you know, that it'll probably be, you'll probably be fine.
There's a few more. So, you know what? Galaxy's Edge probably opened because we said it wasn't open before we left town. So that's how these things work.
That'll definitely be closed. Yeah, that'll be there.
That's it. Number two, when are the gingerbread houses typically up at the resorts? I believe it's at the Grand Floridian and Beach Club. Those are a little bit later in the game. Those don't even, it takes a while to get the one up at the Grand Floridian. It's after Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, they do those after Thanksgiving. So you won't see those.
Unless you go, if they go with the December dates, it'll be fine.
Well, yeah, unless they go with the December dates. Yeah.
Yep. Number three, last question. Just your overall thoughts for choosing the November or December dates. I look forward to the podcast. I listen and laugh while walking. They keep me going. Thanks for all you do, Liz. Actually, those are from Michael. It's actually from Liz. In Wethersfield, Connecticut, 972 from Ricky, 1,084 from me, and 470 from Pam. I love when people laugh when they're walking because of us, because it makes you look silly, just like we always are. So if you had to pick, I would definitely pick early December just for the fact that that time frame in November scares me a little because I think that's around Veterans Day. I think that might be the weekend.
It is the last weekend of Food and Wine Festival. So... yikes, it's gonna be really crowded that weekend. And it's also Wine and Dine, right? So
Wine and Dine I think is the weekend before this year. It's like the
4th. Oh, you're right, it might be the weekend before. Okay, yeah, but definitely the last weekend of food and wine. So I would pick the December dates for sure. I think that that's going to be much smoother for you as far as park crowds go.
Well, because it's going to be lower crowds, it's probably going to be a little cooler weather, and you're going to have all the Christmas stuff by then. I mean,
that's
no doubt.
True.
So definitely December. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you for all the great questions. If you have a question, send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. I will just say that you get great news up to date all the time, blog posts, everything in one place. Ricky, what do you think we're reading about here in the middle of July as we record this? Who knows?
I mean, we are probably reading about Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam at this point. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. They probably just over announced the dates. But we're definitely reading right now about Toy Story Land and all the hubbub of what's going on with it and things like that. You know, how things have been going the past couple weeks with it open now and stuff like that. So that's, I think, what we're reading about this week.
Sounds as good as I know. It sounds perfect. So, turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now. Great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Again, follow on the social media. We're having a good time at Be Our Guest Mike, you know, on Facebook and on Instagram and Twitter. I post a lot and I still have about 36 hours left. So join in if you're at work. Also, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Lots of fun over there. And the biggest thing is we want to see you this Saturday. So what we need a blitz. We need you to help us. We need a blitz.
Please.
Everywhere you go, let people know because, you know, somebody could just tune in for 5 minutes, donate $5, and that could be the difference in a scoop of ice cream for a family. So
please share this everywhere that we are doing the 12-hour live show. There is an event on Facebook that's been created, so you can share that. You can share any of the posts that we've got going on. Just anything, share it. Please, please, please. We want to raise a ton of money for Give Kids the World this weekend.
All right. So with that said, we're going to cut you loose and let you get on with your Wednesday. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, or I'm headed to the Magic Kingdom. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.